Greetings and welcome to another exciting edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastor Gary Zamora. Woo!
Thank you, Steve.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh my gosh, really good. It is great to be here. Sorry, I just cut you off.
No, I'm just saying that my mind's been just inundated with what a great day this is. You know, it's cloudy out. I looked out today and I said, this is a day that God has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm just looking at him. I'm thinking, you formed the clouds. What all was in the mind of God when he formed clouds? And then rain comes out of it. Water falls down from the heavens, and then the earth springs forth. It's a message right there, see?
Absolutely is. And I'll take that prophetically, because we need rain prophetically. We need physical rain prophetically for California, and we need spiritual rain prophetically for California. So I'll take that as a double portion
It is the word of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord.
Amen to that. Well, today, I thought that it'd be a good idea to talk about, you know, Sometimes when we talk about things, we talk a lot about, the power of God, and we talk about the victory of God. And, you know, anyone who's paid any attention to this ministry know that our freedom in Christ is a big deal, and about Jesus's victory of the cross. And a lot of times there will be people that as they're starting to get to know the ministry or they've heard something about the ministry, and I'm sure you get lots of letters, and this idea of, you know, not embracing the idea that spiritual warfare, as is traditionally understood, is even a thing, and that we believe that there is no war, that Jesus defeated the power of Satan on the cross, and that even before that, though, there was no contention. God has no enemy. God alone is God. And I think that because so many people, as we've talked about many times before, myself included, and yourself before you even knew, were kind of indoctrinated into this warfare mentality. Yeah. And that plays out in the ways that when something bad happens to our lives, instead of seeking the kingdom, as Jesus declares, we actually seek the devil. Who did that? You know, what's happening to me? What did I do wrong? Or what am I doing so good that he's after me? And something that I think that we fail sometimes to really think of, and in some ways it's good, because we shouldn't put any of our mind or attention on the devil, because as we were saying, that's what he's always wanted. But one thing that we lose sight on in our logic, even having to wrestle with, is this truth, can I really believe it, is when you really look at the weakness of what evil is. We tend to think of evil as a very strong power and a very strong force. So therefore, in our minds, it kind of makes sense that, you know, in the end, it's not strong enough to be God's. God's going to win, but it's strong enough to be contentious with us, with the plans of God, and that God's plans might get thwarted if we don't, you know, watch out or rebuke the devil and we mind our guard so they don't get thwarted. But the reality, as we've talked about before, you and I, evil's not really very strong, is it?
I think it's a bit of an oxymoron. If you think about God as all authority and all power, but yet here he is with his church arm wrestling against good and evil. I mean, doesn't that just seem, is he all authority and all power? You know, has he put it down or not? You know, did he put down evil and rise up in power and glory? And what did God say regarding us? He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will bear witness to me. So that's our call, to be empowered through Christ and to bear witness and testimony to who he is. So evil is a decline. You know, evil, it's like darkness. Darkness is not an entity. It isn't a presence. It's an absence. And I know I've taught this for years, but it is the absence of presence, darkness is. It's the absence of light, darkness is. It's the absence of truth, darkness is. Mm-hmm. So darkness isn't a strength, it's a weakness.
You know, while you're on that point, let me interject by saying, you know, we're sitting here in a studio with lights around us.
Yeah.
And I'm a filmmaker, so my day job as a director is to shoot things with lights, right, or at least with sunlight. You can't film anything if there's no light, right? And here's the thing. There's no instrument to measure darkness. I can take out an instrument that's a light meter. And in the old days, before we had everything video equipment, and you can instantly get feedback on a on a screen, you'd use film and you'd shoot a movie, you had no idea if it was going to be bright enough on film. You had no idea whether there's going to be a light image or a dark image or to control it, unless you had a light meter. And so the light meter would tell you, you knew how sensitive your film was, you knew what your exposure, your aperture, and the speed that the film was going through, but you had the light meter to tell you if there was enough light to make enough exposure so your face was bright enough in the shot, it would need a light meter. And I could take the light meter and I could measure this cheek and it would tell me, oh, that's like, that your face right there is at a 5.6, and I'd go over here and say, oh, your face there is a 2.8, so that means there's like, this side is 3 to 4 times less light than on that side. And I could know that. And that would tell me how to set my exposures and everything like that. But there is no meter if I want this corner to be dark to say, is it dark enough? I couldn't pull out a dark meter because darkness isn't a present. I could look there and say, there's no light there. That's all it can ever tell me is there's no light, but it can't tell me how dark it is.
Interesting. Well, and that's fascinating. I never thought about not being able to measure darkness. Because it in a respect, it doesn't exist.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist. It's not made up of power. So you have everything in everything that is material is made up of atoms. So all matter is made up of atoms, and one of the things that is not made up of matter is light, because it is energy. So the creator, God, the light, made matter, the atoms, the structural components that we and everything else is made up of.
God so makes it matter.
He makes it matter. Very good. And the absence of a thing is weakness, okay? The absence of truth is a lie. So there is no power of a lie. There's the absence of truth, which is power. Jesus is truth. Jesus is power. So when you think about darkness being a power, like honestly, you know, the church for a long time has referenced darkness and evil as a power. It's really a weakness. It's an absence of power. It's an absence of truth. It takes power to live in the earth. So God said, let us give Adam and Eve power, let us give them dominion, because it takes strength to live in the world. The world is a powerful creation of God, and it requires power. You know, light is power. We are bombarded daily with rays from the sun. It's a powerful place to live, the earth is, and it requires power. And we gain power from the truth. Yeah. But evil, as an essence, is the absence of power. It's the absence of love, the absence of truth, the absence of life, the absence of light. God is light. Christ is light. Jesus said, I make you the light of the world. So we are strong. Evil is weak. So it isn't really power that does evil in the world. It's weakness, the lack of power. When we are empowered through Christ, we overcome the weakness. When you become an you emulate weakness, then you feel the lack of power, and it is sometimes interpreted as something powerful has come against me. No, you're feeling weakness. You're not feeling a powerful spirit coming after. You're feeling the weakness, the lack of light, the lack of truth, the lack of love. Always lead with love. Always lead with the Word of God. Always lead in truth. Always fix your mind on Him, because that's power. That's life. That's what makes us strong. When you begin to feel bad and overcome and overwhelmed, it's not because something powerful has entered the room or entered your life. It's because weakness has begun to make itself known. Absence has begun to make itself known. If you think about when you start thinking about, I don't have enough of this, you know, maybe I don't feel strong enough, young enough, pretty enough, blessed enough, financially stable. You start thinking about what you don't have, you start feeling overcome. And you're not overcome by power. You're overcome by lack, absence, weakness. So there is no evil power that overcomes anyone. It is the lack of strength, the lack of power, the lack of the Holy Spirit. That's what is overwhelming. So when you feel overwhelmed by a situation, a trial, a tribulation, whatever you think it is, when you are not acknowledging who Christ is in you and the fullness of the light and the truth and walking in love, that's why the Word tells us to do the things we do, love and forgive and be kind and the words of your mouth. Words of your mouth either declare to you that you're walking in reality, you're walking in truth, power, the light, or you've stepped off somewhere in the shadows and you can't see what's going on, and you become intimidated by the lack of light, the lack of power. We're built, we're created to live in the power and the light of Christ. So evil isn't a force of power.
No.
It's a representation of weakness and
which is empty. Why, as you like to say, why Jesus rebuked the disciples who were so proud of exerting power.
Exactly. So don't feel afraid. See, the absence of power can feel fearful because we're created to live in strength. It's kind of like sucking the oxygen out of the room. You know, you the oxygen goes away. You begin to panic if you can't catch a breath. Same thing with God. The Ruach, the breath of God, the breath of life in us is in His Word, in loving Him, in blessing Him by the words of our mouth, in acknowledging who He is, in walking in the light, He says, as I am in the light. He said, you are the light of the world. That's power. That's true power. And everyone can have it. Anyone can have it. Everything that God is, everything that God tells us to do and tells us to seek for is readily available. It is ever present for us and with us. Evil is a thing in the distance. It is far from us. But when we bring it in based on doubt and we begin to walk in certain uncertainty based on our ability to do instead of Christ working through us, we begin to feel overwhelmed, and you interpret it. Oftentimes, it's interpreted as this force is coming. There's no force. It's emptiness. It's weakness. People are overcome by weakness, not by power.
Yeah.
Power gives life. Power overcomes.
So then how can the evil then be ultimately responsible for major things, even that seem bad, that happen in your life? Because if there's nothing to it, then it can't be responsible. So there must be a different source behind it.
Yeah, God, the Word says all things work together. We talk about this all the time. Jesus is Lord over all, and David addressed this best, I think, in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The evil that is done is because of the existence of power. It's the existence of the knowledge of God, the revelation of Christ. It's a mind that is empty, seeking to destroy, seeking to do something evil. Now, there are certainly acts of evil, acts of rebellion. People act out. For anything from a physical strike to war, from whence come war and fighting among you? Come they even of your own lusts that war within you? So what is the power of lusts? What is the power of evil working in you? It's the lack of the power of God, the fulfillment of Christ. We are fulfilled in Him, the Word says. So when you consider that there is another, it's in the Garden of Eden, when you consider there is something that we are in need of, you consider lack, and you look outside of who Christ is, outside of the Word of God, you get hungry, you get empty, you feel weak. That's evil. It lashes out in fear, trying to defend itself for the wrong reasons. So when evil happens, think about it like this. Evil takes place when power and righteousness are not present. Now, not that God's power and righteousness isn't present, but when we respond, when our faith is kindled towards, oh, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough knowledge, I don't, you know, I'm not smart enough, or whatever it is, you know, I'm not worthy enough, we're surrendering to emptiness. That's an empty attitude. And that people lash out. When people lose their peace, lose their way, lose their direction, you know, they're wayward. They lose their place. They lash out irrationally. They begin to do things that are unkind, unjust, unrighteous. That isn't a power. You know, that is a weakness. That is an emptiness, looking for substance, looking for purpose.
Nor does it take a spirit to make someone feel that way.
It does not. It just takes rejection.
Yeah. I go back to that scripture of what you said. Where do the wars, where do these seasons come from? Aren't they the lust? He didn't say, here's a perfect opportunity. They're the evil spirits that are contending for your soul. But that's not what it says. It says it's the lust that war within your hearts. He puts the responsibility 100% back on the people, and there's no blame for some spiritual force at all.
Exactly. And what is lust? Well, it's something you try to get outside of who Christ is. It's a sense of I'm missing something, and you are. But instead of reaching in the right direction, we reach in the wrong direction. We go against God's word. You kill, you steal, you hurt, you hate. That's not power. That's emptiness. And emptiness in action looks like power and force, but it really is a lack of power and a lack of force. Again, think about it. You know, if you sit there and you say, man, I have this project I need to do. We don't have enough money. You know, we don't have enough time to edit this project. You know, fear, you become overwhelmed and it feels powerful, doesn't it? Well, that's not power. You're considering the uncertainty and you're considering that you don't have enough. Whereas if you take the same conditions and address them differently, like God is my provider, we've always had what we need, we'll always have what we need, it's time to move forward and get this project done. Yeah. Peace is there. You don't feel overwhelmed. You're more creative again. You're more assertive. You're more clear. And you get the job done. And as always, God makes a way where there seems to be no way. That's power.
That is
faith in who he is.
And you know what? Even if you take the extreme case and say, okay, like I love that example of editing because I've got a lot of it to do right now. No, but even if you take that example and let's say that you get to whatever your allotted time period is and you don't finish. Okay, but what you have of, so you didn't affect whether you finished or not on time, but what you did affect was your experience going through that.
Yeah.
And you could have spent, you know, 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it is, completely miserable going through something. Okay. And in that case would have probably reduced the quality and the engagement of what you were doing.
Yeah.
Or you could have taken the same amount of time and gone at it with a different approach, with a full belief in to make it work out. And even if at the end of the day, in the worst case, it didn't, you know what? It's going to be that much better though than if you'd taken the other way. And that's just a great dichotomy between walking out from that mindset of lack and weakness versus that of strength and faith.
It's always going to be better with a positive, a faith approach, a God approach, you know, and why we say the things we say and the impact that it has on us. You know, there is reality and the reality that reality is perception.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And well, some say you're this guy and that guy and Elias and the prophet and, you know, Elijah. Some say you're the Baptist, John the Baptist come forth. But who do you say I am? What is your take? What is your perspective? Peter addresses him for who he is. I know who you are. Absolute confidence. I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. Jesus said, this is where my church foundation is built, on knowing who I am. That's power. Others say, well, you know, some John the Baptist, you know, I'm sure they felt overwhelmed by the question because they're overwhelmed by uncertainty. That's not a power. That's a weakness. Power gives life. Power energizes. Power makes things happen. Power makes things work. Weakness is like a battery without power. We say it's broken. I had an item. It was a transformer I needed for something I was doing, and I plugged it in and no power. And the last time I plugged it in, there was power, and I plugged it in, there's no power. I'm going, oh man, I'm gonna have to go buy a new transformer, you know, and they're pricey. So I just thought, I'm gonna look internally. What if there is a fuse in there? So I took 2 screws out, removed the fan, looked inside, and there's a little black fitting. I turned it, out pops a fuse, and it's burnt.
Hmm.
So, you know, a few cents on a fuse, a dollar or two on a fuse, as opposed to hundreds of dollars
on a transformer.
Just look inside. It's not there's no lack of power. There's just lack of connection. Just make the connection.
Oh, that's good.
The lack of power is feeling that, being overwhelmed by, I don't have enough, you know, too much. I'm not righteous enough. I'm not smart enough. Stop that. Let the mind of the Spirit tell you who you are in who He is, because that's our new identity in Christ. And that's a powerful identity.
That's so good. It's like we are like the Transformer analogy. We sometimes are handed circumstances that could be difficult, sometimes painful. And we want to exchange it for just different circumstances.
Yeah.
And God's saying, no, there's something for you to discover.
Yeah, exactly.
That's look inside.
Perfect. That's so great.
Look inside.
That's so great.
There's a fuse for you to change.
What you just said, we look for a different circumstance instead of dealing with the one at hand.
Yeah. Because we think it's evil. We think it's got power.
Yeah, because we feel that we lack the insight. There's something so profound about prophecy. And prophecy, to me, is the revelation of Christ, because that's what the Word says. When Christ is revealed, prophecy is taking place, true prophecy. God's revealing His will, His purpose, the order of your life, the circumstances that He wants you to be greater than. You know, you can't experience the power of God that just encourages you, simply encourages you, unless you face something that you know you don't have the power to do, but you have faith in Christ in you, and then that thing becomes, it's resolved.
How would you ever know?
By the power that works in you. How would you ever know that experience if you didn't face something you knew you couldn't handle on your own? How will you ever know Christ is in you unless you're faced with a circumstance or a situation that your faith has to overcome through acknowledging who He is? It's all about, again, I'm a very Jesus-centered Emmanuelist. God is with me. God is ever-present, and everything to me is just starts and stops with Christ. He is the first, the last, the beginning, the end. And how we framework our words.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking earlier, and you and I do it all the time. Prior to a podcast, we'll start talking about a specific topic, subject, and
which is usually way more interesting than this, by the way.
and as we do, I heard you, just you started coming up with new insight. And there's something profound about words.
Yeah.
God formed everything by
word.
By words, by the spoken word of God. And whether that is, and I know there's more insight even to that than what we think. But we'll just, you know, for simplicity's sake, we'll just say the spoken word of God. But when we speak, our words take on a body, an identity, and a presence.
Yeah.
So you can say something negative, something like, I don't have enough power. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough intelligence. The Transformer analogy. I'm thinking, I'm not a techie guy.
Not an engineer.
Electrical components. I don't know that world. I don't know, you know, if a thermal sensor has gone out, and if it has, I don't have the equipment to test that. And if I did, I don't know where to get one or what, you know, I can solder and do that. But I don't know. So I put it in the car and was getting ready to take it. And I just thought, I'm going to look internally. Maybe there is something that I know that I can do. There's always a knowing on the inside. There's always knowledge that God will give you to take the next step. So I took it out of the car, took two screws out, removed the fuse, bingo, problem solved. No money, no trip. I saved myself probably an hour trip both ways, saved myself a lot of time and a lot of money by just looking inside. Look inside.
Yeah.
You'll be amazed at what you find. The kingdom of God is within. And the words of our mouth empower that. So when we say something instead of I don't have enough, I have enough. I'll always have enough. I always say, I can know anything that I need to know.
Yeah.
That's been something that's just been ingrained in me by the word of the Lord. I can know anything that I need to know. I'm not saying I'm going to know everything everyone knows.
No.
I can know anything that I need to know. I have the knowledge for anything that I need. And I've found in life, I always know what I need to know. If it's take this step and the no is in box number two, you know, or yep. Box A. I know that the knowing is by looking internally. The kingdom of God is within. And that's a part of the revelation of the kingdom of God. You can always look within. It's not a place. It's a presence. Yeah. It's a power. That's why Jesus said, you can say the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God. He said, that's not the way. It doesn't come with observation. You find it within, okay, and a whole nother message. But our words amplify and give figure, presence, and power to either our faith or our doubt.
Yeah.
So if you say it in doubt, now you have a personality, you have a presence, and you have a voice you're having to deal with. So make that a good one. I have enough. I have all that I need. You've just given your words presence. I can do this. You've just given your words body, and we'll always have what we need. So you have structure. You have matter. You have body. You have presence. You've just given your words a reality, and you can rely on your words. There's a scripture that actually says, I had it here earlier. It says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking doubt or deceit. Out of a good spring flows good water. A bad spring, bad. You can't have both. With one word, the word says we bless God. Another word, we curse men. This shouldn't be. Let the same words come out of your mouth. Let them be either good or evil. That's who you are. So what are you going to say? Only good will happen to me. There is no, that, and that's power. You, again, are renewing your mind. You're Christ-centered. You're speaking from authority, the authority of the kingdom, everything that Christ said to do. You're finding the righteous movements, actions, and attitude of God. And the weakness is overcome by the strength, not because weakness is a power, but you fill that empty space of weakness with a presence and an essence, which is power and life, and that comes out of your mouth. So you want to see love good days, speak words of blessing, words of faith, words of power. Declare prophetically what Christ in you, who Christ in you, and what Christ in you is going to do, and the weakness goes, the overwhelming sense of anxiety, I can't do, I don't know what to do, it goes away. You don't have to have the answer in the beginning. As each article, each idea, each part, each component, you just start with one. When you're putting a puzzle together, you don't consider the entire puzzle. You consider the corner, if you
will. Find me
consider
the corners.
One piece at a time.
We're find working a corner, puzzle right now. Find the corners.
Find the corners. Get the corners and everything comes together. Jesus is the cornerstone.
Yeah.
And well, that's,
and I think
that's where we begin, and that's what puts everything together.
And I think that's why there's such a focus, an important focus, in this ministry of getting your mind off the devil, yeah, and getting your mind off of warfare and why evil is so weak, because none of these things that you're talking about doing will we be able to grasp and discover about our situations if we are writing them off as the result of an attack,
yeah,
as a result of the effect of evil, because there's our answer. Yeah. There's nothing more to discover. This is broken because it's cursed, not because there might be something I can discover inside of it that can fix it, that will not only fix it, but also change my understanding of things. So it's evil. And I think what's interesting, one of the biggest light bulb moments for me in coming to understand this message of freedom was seeing things where, you know, it's like this matrixy thing where the whole perspective just shifts around. And a perfect verse of that is when it talks about the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he should devour. Yeah. Now that certainly sounds like evil's pretty freaking powerful, right? You know, he's going about like a roaring lion. And the way that God kind of like, and it was really, I think, a step that God helped me understand where you were coming from, is kind of gave me this light bulb moment. It was like, okay, how does a lion hunt? Okay. And you start thinking about it and you go, well, wait a minute. Okay. A lion roars. Why does he roar? His roar is to startle the herd, to find the scaredest and the weakest ones. And that's who he goes and he attacks. He doesn't go after the leader or the most important or the most strategic or the one with the most purpose or the one with the best plans or making the biggest difference. He goes after the weakest. And again, that weakness from the person being weak goes from their own mindset, and the devil is going after that person. So that scripture, which seems like a warning, watch out for the powerful enemy, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion, was not that at all. Yeah. It wasn't be on the lookout. It was don't be weak.
Don't be weak. Stay out of a weak-minded mentality.
Yeah.
Be sober. Be vigilant.
Yeah.
Not because you're going to get devoured. Be
no.
sober, be vigilant, don't be weak, don't fall prey.
And you won't be prey.
And you won't be prey. You won't be prey. You won't be prey. And typically, too, a lion also roars just, typically the roar is just saying, this is my territory.
Yeah.
Stay out of that territory,
yeah,
that
right.
mindset of weak. And this is also, you put it everything in its perspective. This is Christ talking to Peter, because Peter had a tendency to fall prey to ideas that weren't necessarily what God wanted. Number one, he rebukes Christ,
don't go to
totally
the cross.
Out of line. Don't go to the cross, which is exactly what the devil would what have
devil
said.
What devil mindset? Look,
yeah.
you're going to fall prey.
Yeah, exactly.
He's looking for people just like you.
If the devil had anything to say, he would not have me go to the cross, because he knows if I do, what happens.
Yeah.
That's why I said, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things which be a men and not of God. Peter falls back into the idea of circumcision. So he's rebuked by Paul.
And he denies Christ.
And he denies Christ. So Peter is living in this world where Jesus is saying, listen, stop falling prey to weakness and the ideas and the kindred of men's ideas and perceptions. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It isn't a word out to the church, be careful because the daring devil is prowling around. The word says he's defeated. Spirits are in dark places. They're like homeless, vagrant, weak. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I just want a place to dwell in. Think about a spirit is something that is mad. I mean, if you're absent from the presence of God and you have feelings, you have desires, but no place to express them, you're going to go mad. Spirits are mad. That's why the guy that's possessed with a bunch of spirits, he's mad. And Jesus says one word, go, and legions of them just flee. And what do they ask? Oh, we just need a place to dwell, even if it's a pig. And if it's going to drown in seconds after we enter them, we just need someone that we can share our weak madness, our emptiness with.
Why didn't they go lead Jesus and go find somebody else, someone powerful to take over?
Yeah, because they can't.
It's a
spirit is a weakness. It's not a power. It can't just come in and interrupt a believer's life. It's not scriptural. It's not true. It's not what God was saying. It's the absolute opposite. And let's just break it down to a simple matter of fact fundamental. If you have an issue that you're trying to deal with and you don't want to slow down, you want to expedite the answer, why in the world would you go over? Why would you rehash the problem instead of addressing the answer? And the answer is always going to be Christ.
Yeah.
So let's start with the answer and let's just stay on track.
I think of the scripture, in my weakness he is made strong, right? So we have to, it's not about acknowledging our weakness, it's about acknowledging its strength. And in that, then from the outside, we look strong. For because if he's going to be strong, if in our weakness he's made strong, then the end result is our strength, matter where we begin with.
It doesn't matter.
It's acknowledging him.
Lord is my strength. God is my strength. Like the scripture say, God's talking, is there another God? You know, if you will, who can contend with me? Who can argue with me and win? Who can fight against me? Okay? No one. The reality of God's presence, his power, and our power in Christ is not the way it has been depicted by this force of evil and force of good. Evil happens. Evil is out there, and I get that. That's men's disobedience and rejection to God. It's men acting out of hatred and envy and desires and jealousy, just like Peter said. So stop blaming the wrong, and let's bring transformation to those people that are bound in darkness. Let's be a light where at least they have an example to follow, instead of making up the same excuses that evil is still ruling the world. Because if Christ didn't do it on the cross, I don't think we have a chance.
No.
But if we acknowledge what he did on the cross was more than enough, and we start walking in the power, let's run this race, let's finish the course, let's keep the faith, and let's see the kingdom of God be revealed in the earth, just as Christ said, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as in heaven.
Amen. And we are now the light of the world, casting out the darkness, not the darkness, casting out the light.
Exactly.
So good. Thanks, Pastor. Till next time,
Thanks.
Don't throw away the transformer, but look for the mystery inside. See you guys later.